Very glad to be here this morning. I'm glad to be here particularly to visit you all again. We've always enjoyed our time in the past, and I'll say have no reason to expect anything less whenever we come again. But very glad to be in the house of God. No better place to be right now or any other time here in this world. I appreciate the prayer that went forward. As was mentioned, there are plenty to pray for this morning, plenty in particular with ailments and afflictions. And unfortunately, the list does not end there. We can count ourselves among the afflicted this morning. In various ways, we all know in the same way with sin. And certainly, when I say we, I mean we. I ask you would continue to pray for all of us, for each other, for me, and for yourself. If I was to try to pick out my biggest fault, and I challenge you to narrow it down to, you know, a couple dozen or so, I tend not to take things seriously when maybe I should. If ever there was something that should be taken seriously, it is the worship service of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I am terribly fearful that I do not do that. Please pray for that this morning. I'd like to start in 2 Timothy in chapter 3. And I'd like to talk a little bit this morning about the Word of God. In chapter 3, starting in verse 14, 2 Timothy, it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." There are several things I'd like to take out of pick out of these Scriptures this morning. The first thing I'll start with is in that 16th verse, is all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. How crucial is that to know? Not only to think about, but to know and believe, because if we are not in belief of that, then what use are the Scriptures to us? How can we believe on anything else that is proven scripturally if we do not believe those Scriptures to be perfect, to be complete, to be changeless and to remain changeless, and to be by the inspiration of God, which is to say all of the above. It's quite necessary for this morning, and I'll just make that point and move on. I know we're all aware of that. But it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." There are many things that I consider myself to have learned in life, both secular things of the world, things, you know, just through my education, and things scripturally that I've learned. There are some things that I think that I may have learned, but I might not have been assured of. I've had conversations with my elders and just with others, certainly with my wife, about certain things. I said, you know, I've been thinking about this. This came to mind. This sounds really good, but I have to clarify it and put out there. I said, but I don't know that it's true. It sounds good to me. That is certainly not the benchmark for truth. I'll talk it over and maybe get some advice on where to go to prove or disprove it. And thanks be to God that I feel like He's led me to some truths in that, and He's saved me. He's delivered me from some pitfalls in that. I've been assured of some things. I can't assure myself of anything. If I'm relying upon myself, I can't assure myself of anything. I can say that I know something. I can believe something, perhaps profess something, But that's all from me. I need something else to back that up. I need something else to prove that. I need to be assured of and from something else, and that's God. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them, of God and Jesus Christ. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. It does not say that the Scriptures, that from the Scriptures we get salvation. Now, I'll say something here in a little bit that may come back to that. We get a salvation through the Scriptures. We don't get that eternal salvation. Where do we get that? It says right next to that, it says it's in Christ Jesus. We have it through faith. It was obtained through Christ Jesus, given to us by Christ Jesus. The Scriptures, however, are able to make us wise unto salvation. We can learn some things. As I said, we can learn and be assured of some things through the Scriptures pertaining to our salvation. We can rightly divide through the grace of God the salvation that we have eternally, the salvation we have in time, salvation from sin, salvation from mortality, which we ultimately will possess, our bodies being raised and incorruptible and immortal, along with the immortal, incorruptible, immortal and incorruptible body of Christ Jesus, which is now in heaven. We can know these things. We can know them. I'll say we can know them without the Scriptures. God can place that knowledge within us. God places that knowledge within us. We can interpret these things through God, through that Spirit that we have of God. But the study, the godly study of the Scriptures can make us wise unto these things, and is right that we should do so. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, a lot of times I'll read that and I'll think, all Scripture is it given by inspiration of God, and then some Scripture is profitable for doctrine, some Scripture is profitable for comfort, so on and so forth. I'll profess to you this morning, all Scripture is profitable for doctrine. All Scripture is profitable for comfort. All Scripture is profitable for reproof, and all Scripture is profitable for instruction. Now, I'm not going to say to you this morning that if one of our brothers or sisters has lost a loved one, that we can just flip through the Bible, open up to a random page, stick our finger on a verse, read that to them, and they will be comforted. I'm not saying that to you this morning, but all Scripture being in one accord with itself, being not having any contradiction within it, it supports itself, reassures itself in each of those things, in doctrine, in comfort, in instruction, and in reproof. I'll say certainly in doctrine, it comes to mind that all Scripture points toward Christ, Jesus. All Scripture leads us to, if we are looking for it in the right way, Jesus Christ can be found throughout the Scriptures. Some ways more literally, certainly in the New Testament and in the Gospels, and in the books that follow afterwards, speaking of Christ Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Man. But before divide that is in the book that we have today, given for our benefit to order things and organize things so that we might be able to search them more readily, there's no divide in the Scriptures between a time when Christ Jesus was not being preached and when he was. Christ Jesus was being looked forward to, and then he was being looked back upon, which is not to say that he is not in existence in either time, and he's finite in that one amount of time that he was alive here on earth. We have Christ to look forward to today in our lives. We have Christ to look back upon. We have Christ to look to right now as we trust he is meeting with us in this worship service. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That the man of God may be perfect. The man of man, if you'll allow me to say so, there is no perfection to be found there. The man of God, however, is perfect, being of God, truly furnished, given everything that we need. Perfect in this context, if you look at the definition of that word, it means complete. Certainly, knowing what I know now, I cannot imagine not knowing what I know now, not having this before me, not having this as a resource, as a well to go back to again and again that does not run dry, I feel furnished. I feel complete with that. There are children of God out there that do not have access to this. God is with them, it being His children. God has given them His Spirit, His life. He has placed that within them that they may be comforted in times that they need to, that they may be instructed, that they may be reproved and corrected when needed. However, what a blessing we have this to go to, this physical book, yes, but these holy words to go to again and again. It's a serious thing. When I see my Bible lying on a table, I've got a particular place in the house where I like to sit, and I set it on that cabinet there. And when I see it sometimes, and I'll say, well, you know, I have a few minutes, maybe I should sit down, maybe I should read a little bit, study a little bit. No, there's something else I could do. Or no, there's something else that I want to do. Not even necessarily that it's something that's helping out around the house or making my life better in any way. And then I walk past it. It's a serious thing that we take advantage of that opportunity when there are children of God out there that do not. And I'm thankful for the work that those that are led of God do in trying to deliver that to them. That's a good work. It's not everyone's work. And certainly it's not necessary for their eternal salvation. I'm very thankful that we all know that this morning, that we don't have to go out and find those children of God that have not heard of God and that would suffer eternal torture because of that. That's not true. That's not true. They have that life within them. If they are children of God, they have that life within them, or they are going to before their time of death here in this world. But we have something. We are furnished truly that we, as men of God, may be perfect. I'd like to go to the book of 2 Samuel. I don't intend to stay up long. I hope that I don't take any more or less time than the Lord has given this morning. In 2 Samuel chapter 23... there's a passage here that has been on my mind for some time, and I haven't spoken on it. In the beginning of the 23rd chapter, David speaks of Christ, and that's not where I'm going to right now, but he talks about the covenant that was made between God the Father and God the Son, that His children might be saved. He refers to the Lord as the rock. He says, the rock of Israel. So the God of Israel said, and the rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God, and so on and so forth. That's in the third verse, beginning to speak about that covenant that was made before the world began. David was given that knowledge. It says before that, he says, these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me. This isn't something that David came up with. This is something that the Spirit of the Lord gave unto him. The Spirit of the Lord gave him that knowledge in the same way that the Spirit of the Lord gives us that knowledge, that wisdom of Him today. The same Spirit of the Lord which has inspired these words that we can read today as well. So He spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. We know, as it says in the Gospel of John, that in the beginning the Word was God and the Word was with God. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And then it goes on to say that the Word was manifest in the flesh. Again, speaking of Christ. I'm not going to say this generally because I haven't gone in every place where it's written and done this, but I would confess to you this morning, there are many places when we can read about the Scriptures and read about Christ and find them very, very similar, if not interchangeable, when it talks about their effect on our lives. And when we see in the Old Testament prophecies of Christ and what He was destined to come and do for us, because He is the manifest Word of God, whenever we think about the Word, the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures of God, I see a lot of overlap there, a lot of similarities. If not complete and perfect harmony. It's hard for me to divide the Scriptures from God because they are God. that being inspired by God, they are in one accord with God, who is in one accord with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus Christ, in perfect agreement. So whenever you read through the scriptures, there's not going to be anything in here that's written that God has not approved, that God has not established. There are certainly a lot of times in the scriptures where we will read of men who go astray. Well, we will read of men who say things that are not true. That in itself, praise be unto God that he has made that profitable unto us. The faults and fallings of man, we can read about and we can use those for reproof. We can use those for correction. And far be it for me to say that anybody else was any worse than I am. If there was a scripture written about me, I'd count myself among those that we could look back and say, well, let's not do what Brother Andy did. Let's remember what happened, and let's remember, you know, what God had to say about it. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. I'm very thankful for so many portions of the Old Testament. Again, when we think of, well, what about the genealogies? What about these portions of the Bible that go through historical events and go through, you know, all these very detailed things about, you know, certainly that's not profitable for doctrine. That's not profitable for reproof. I'll tell you, for me, it's profitable because it reminds me that these are real individuals, real children of God or otherwise, that lived and died and had their troubles and their blessings here in life, the same as I do today, the same as all of us do today. It behooved God to include their accounts in the scriptures and not my own. I'm very, very thankful that we need no more scriptures. We're not waiting for some other scribe to come along and pen the third testament of Jesus Christ. We have everything we need. We're not waiting on something else. There's no incompletion. There's no part of us that's missing. Well, there's something, a little bit something left. We're just waiting on, what we're waiting on is it's already been accomplished. We don't have to wait on it and wonder if it's going to come in our lifetimes, if it does or if it doesn't. We get to enjoy that life. Right now, we get to take hold of that life. That is a life that is eternal. It has begun in us, and it shall not end. There are some out there, it has not begun in yet. It's going to begin in them, and it shall not end. There are some out there that I don't know the workings of God. If Christ comes in their lifetime, if that's the moment that they are born again, if it's a split second beforehand, I don't know. But all of God's children are going to be able to look upon him. All of God's children can look upon him today. All of God's children throughout time have been blessed with the ability to look upon Jesus Christ. They may not have known him by name. There are those today that don't know him by that name, but they know him by a name, just as he knows us by name. I don't know what name he's going to call. I know I'm going to answer because I'm going to know he's talking to me. Jesus Christ knows when his children are talking with him. Talk about a serious thing. Communing, talking. I don't know that I like this word. Having a dialogue with Christ. And I say that because it's not just us communing with him. He answers us. He responds. We don't hear him in the same way that we hear each other. Or maybe we do. Maybe some of you out there have heard that. I'm not going to tell you haven't if you say that, if you believe that. I believe that he can do that. There's nothing that I know of that says that God cannot work in that way. We know that he has before. He certainly can now. But we know him. He knows us very specifically. In the 23rd chapter, I haven't even gotten to where I intended to get to. I'll move along now. It goes on in this chapter to talk about David's mighty men. It talks about three in particular, and I won't go through their description, but we're gonna hear a little bit about them now. In the 13th verse, it says, "And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." Now, without going any further, it's very easy for me to see Christ in this. Water of the well of Bethlehem. I'll also ask you this morning to consider this being that living word. I say also that living word, I'm being redundant here, but being the living word, being the scriptures, these holy scriptures that we have. It goes on and says, "And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. So David, he thirsted. He thirsts for that water, that specific water of the well of Bethlehem. And these three men went out, and they broke through this military assembly, this troop of men, of warriors, of soldiers, to get that water. And they brought it back to David. And upon doing so, David said, I can't do this. So these three, this is basically the blood. This is basically the life of those that would go out and sacrifice themselves for me. Again, I see a lot of Christ in this. The blood there, that water, that living water, that water that he thirsted for is the same as the blood that would be sacrificed willingly for each one of us. So often David is shown as a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. In this particular scripture, I can't count the ways in which that I might interpret it and see Christ in every aspect. See it in the water. See it in the three men that would go out and get that water and bring it to us. See it in David, who thirsted for it. Thinking of Christ's prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane for himself. He said, Lord, glorify me that I might glorify thee. David sought that water. He thirsted for that water. He thirsted for that glory, I'll say. And when it was brought unto him, what did he do? He poured it out unto the Lord. He gave it to God. Glorify me that I might glorify thee. And then those three men that brought it, I have to confess, if I was one of them, I'd be a little upset. So we just went out, we got that water, we risked our lives. What are you doing it, pouring it on the ground? Well, certainly I shouldn't have it if I brought that water to him and he said, well, here, you take it. Well, I might, but I don't deserve it. That water's not for me. This water, we've been given freely. These scriptures, we've been given. It costs us nothing. We've just been given it freely, the same as we've been given that eternal life. We have done nothing to earn it. He that has earned it, he that has deserves all the glory, excuse me, he that deserves and receives all the glory that has come him, even he has glorified me, not for my own glory, but for you. I think of all the things, the opportunities that we have in our lifetime to praise God, to worship him, to glorify him, certainly now here in this worship service, but throughout our lives. Christ had 33 years and a little change to do just that, and think of everything that he did. I'm about to that point now, and I certainly can't say that I've done nearly as much as Christ did. And you say, well, sir, he was the Son of God. Of course he's going to. Yes, he was the Son of God, but he was also a man. And he used that time that he was given here on this earth. He was the Son of God. We've been given that same spirit that he had. We don't have it in the perfection that he had. We have these imperfect bodies, these sinful bodies. Christ did not have a sinful body. He had a body, yes. It could be pierced. It could bleed. It was necessary that he could bleed for our salvation. That was right that was the case. But it was not sinful. And still, we have that spirit. I can't use the excuse, well, he was the Son of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. I have that same desire to serve him. Would that I would use it more. Would that I would thirst after it more. Would that I have that desire and that passion. David was not at the brink of death, I don't believe. He got that water. He poured it out. If he was at the brink of death, I think he may have drank it. We don't have to be at the brink of at the end of our rope to go to do that. We don't have to be forced to have that passion. David simply, he thirsted after that water because he knew that it was good. He knew that it would help him, not to drink it necessarily, but to pour it out as a blessing unto God. So often when I do go and I do study and I do read, or try to at least, I think, well, what can I get out of this? What can I do? What can I read and learn today? Because I like learning things, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But what can I do? Maybe this I could use in a sermon sometime. I need this for myself, so then I can. And it doesn't go that well whenever I do that. When it does go well is when God blesses me to stop for a moment and say, how can I glorify God in this as in everything? In the reading of the scriptures, we receive a blessing from that. All the more purely whenever it's to God's glory and not to our own, that we might not puff ourselves up. But read the things of God, just as we go to him in prayer. I feel like that's almost purely for us, that we might receive a blessing or ask God to bestow a blessing upon another or to thank him for something, as we should. Makes me feel good to offer up thanks for something and to acknowledge it. And yet, it's not about how I feel. It's about praising him. How is going to him, asking him something, praising him? It's because he asked us to. It's because he told us to. He commanded us to. And when we do, he is pleased. And when God is pleased, it means that His will is being done, His glory is being given, as it is right for us to do so. Thank you very much for your time this morning. I pray that there's been something of benefit to you, and if not, lay that all to my charge.